This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisisa, and the title of tonight's shiur is Removing the Bloodstained Clothing. I want to take up an area in the aftermath of the Egel. The Egel is, I guess, the most prominent point in this week's Parsha, and it's focused on in general. And I want to address an area that occurred after the Egel and after the Levium had killed the people who worshipped the Egel and after the plague for the Egel. So I want to take up and address an area that occurred afterwards. We'll pick it up from the beginning of Perek Lamed Gimel and Shmos, and I'm going to take it from Pasuk Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Leich alei mizeh ata ve'al masher halisa mi'aretz Mitzrayim, elo aretz asher nishbati la'avraham le'itzchak le'yakov le'mor le'zaracha etznena. After the Egel occurs, Hashem says to Moshe, take the am that I brought out from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, to the land that was promised, you know, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'shalachti lefanecha malach, v'gerashti es haknani ha'emori v'achiti v'aprizi ha'chivi v'haivusei. I'm going to send in front of you a malach, and he's going to disperse and drive out all the nations of Canaan. El eretz zavas chalav udvash, ki lo ele b'kirbecha, ki angshe orafata, pen achelcha badarech. To the land of milk and honey, because I will not go with you, because you are a stubborn nation, and perhaps I'll consume you on the path. So what does this mean, just pshat? Let's look at Rashi for the pshat of what this is referring to. If you look at number 2 in Rashi, he says, Ki lo ele bikir b'cha, l'chach ani omer l'cha v'shalachti l'fanecha malach. I am not going to be amongst you, meaning the Shechina itself will no longer travel with Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, but rather Hashem will send a malach in front of them instead. Ki amkshe orafata, because they are a stubborn nation. Ukshishchinasi bekirbechem, when my Shechina, my presence, is amongst Klal Yisrael, ve'atem mamrim bi, and you're rebellious against me, mar be'ani alechem zam. There'll be much more anger against Klal Yisrael, and achelcha is lashon kilayon. It's the lashon of destruction, complete destruction. So what is Hashem, to summarize Rashi in the Pshat, what is Hashem telling Klal Yisrael after the Egel? That my Shechina can't be amongst Bnei Yisrael anymore. And instead, the Shechina will no longer be there, and a Malach will be in front of Klal Yisrael to guide them towards Eretz Yisrael. But the Shechina can't be there because of the fact that if Klal Yisrael sin and the Shechina is present, there'll be much more zam, there'll be much more anger. Now, why is that the case? Does anybody have an approach or an idea? Why is it that if the Shechina is there and Klal Yisrael, you know, are rebellious, there'll be much more zam, there'll be more anger? So I think the idea is that it's a bigger bizoy to God. If in a situation where you have the potential to gain ideas about God, you are rebellious, it's a greater bizayon, it's a greater defamation of God, as opposed to if God is not present, meaning the Shechina is not present. So the idea is that it would be better for Klal Yisrael and for their sake to not have the Shechina there, as opposed to having the Shechina there. So what happens after that? This is really the main area I want to take up, starting with Pasuk Dalet. Vayishma am es hadavar hara zeh vayisabalu v'lo shasu ish ed yo alav. The people heard that the Shechina would no longer be amongst them, and they mourned. And the end of the pasuk is kind of cryptic. V'lo shasu ish ed yo alav. I'm going to read you the English. It says, no one put his finery on. Nobody put his finery on. Okay, so that's Dalet. Then what happens? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe amor el bnei Yisrael. Atem am she'oref, rege achad ele bikir b'cha v'chili sicha, v'ata horeid ed yecha me'alecha, v'eida ma'es elach. Hashem says to Moshe, tell Bnei Israel you are a very stubborn nation, and in one moment, if I'm amongst you, I will kill you and destroy you. And now take off your ed yecha, which we're going to explain, your finery, me'alecha, v'eida ma'es elach, and I will know what to do with you. V'yis natzlu Bnei Israel es edyom mehar chorev. And Bnei Yisrael divested themselves, they took off and they removed their edyom, mehar chorev. I think the main question that we're going to start with is, what exactly are the edyom? What's the idea of Klal Yisrael mourning? And in the beginning, it sounds like they didn't put their finery on. And in the end, Hashem says to them, take off your edyom. And they do take off their edyom from har chorev. So what exactly are these edyom? Okay, so that's the question I want to take up. And why do they have to take them off? Why couldn't they just keep their edyom, whatever the edyom are, which we're going to explain, why couldn't they just keep them off? And why is this appropriate as part of the aftermath of the Egel? This whole back and forth between the people and God as a response to the Egel. So those are the questions that we're going to address tonight. And I'm going to take it from, I guess, the more simplistic pshat level, but I think there's also deep ideas, and we're going to move outwards to, I think, more drush levels and trying to explain this area. So the first idea or possibility in a pshat level is, I think, the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra. They explain the idea of edyo, what that concept is. So if you look at number three, the Rashbam, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, he says, edyo, mine tachshiten. It's referencing their jewelry. Lefish nagu avelos, kedichsiv, vayisabalu, veloshasu ish edyo alav. Sha'arei amar lehen kadosh baruch hu, horeid edyecha. So what is edyo? It's a type of jewelry. And what does it mean? What is the Pasuk telling you? If you go back to Pasuk Dalet in number one, it says, Vayishma am esadavar haraza, vayisabalu, veloshasu ish edyo alav. They heard the bad news that the presence of the Shekhinah would not be amongst them, and they do not put on their jewelry. That's the first pasuk in Dalet. And then in Hey, Hashem says, take off all your jewelry. And in Vav, it says, Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es ed yom har chorev. So the idea of ed yom is an idea in their jewelry, and it's part of their avelos. Part of their avelos, their mourning, was that they had to remove their jewelry. If you look at the Ibn Ezra, he says very similar in number four. It says, Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyom min edim v'heim bigdei tiferes v'tachshiteim. It's referring to nice clothing and their jewelry. Kemo hanizamim v'hatabas. Like various types of bracelets and rings. Al derech v'edcha adi kies ablu advar egel. So he says a similar thing to the Rashbam. The Ibn Ezra says as well, the reason why the Klal Yisrael, once they heard that God would no longer be amongst them, the Shekhinah, the reason why they didn't put on their tachshitim and their bigdei tiferes was a sign of their avelus, a sign of their mourning. Okay? Why is it, I just want to understand, why is it a sign of their mourning to take off their tachshitim? Why is that a sign of mourning? This is a question for people on the phone line. Why is it a sign of mourning? What idea exists in mourning that would demand that a person take off their tachshitim, their jewelry? Come on, Debbie.
When you're in mourning, obviously it's not like a time to be vain and to be focused on like beauty and stuff like that.
Okay, good.
They would have to remove that aspect of themselves.
Okay, so what Debbie is saying, which I think is a good answer, is that in mourning, when a person mourns, there's an absence of a sense of, you know, self-pride, an absence of involvement in the self. The idea of mourning is that a person has to remove the self, remove self-pride and self-worth. And tachshit, jewelry, makes a person feel more beautiful in general. And it's inappropriate. When a person's mourning, part of the mourning process is that a person has to remove that self-pride, that feeling of self-worth in order to focus on, you know, what they're mourning about and what they're mourning for. So in the beginning, it sounds like in the beginning, Klal Yisrael, what happened? They didn't put on their jewelry. Apparently, they had jewelry on, if you look in the Psukim, but they didn't put on any more jewelry as a sign of their mourning, that they weren't in a situation where it was appropriate for them to feel vain about themselves, but rather, it was appropriate for them to be misabel, to mourn over the fact that they did the egel, which was a terrible incident in Klal Yisrael's history. So let's just read on, and we're going to get a full picture of the pshat. In number five, the Ibn Ezra, he goes on. He explains the idea of Hashem commanding Klal Yisrael to take off the jewelry that they had on. So there's two parts, as I said before. One part is that the people had jewelry on, and they didn't put any new jewelry on. And the second part is Hashem says in Hey, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Amor al Bnei Yisrael Atem Am Kshei Oref Rega Echad Ele Bekir Becha V'chili Sicha Ve'ata Horeid Ed Yecha Me'alecha. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael after that, it's not enough that you didn't put on your jewelry, but you also have to remove all the jewelry that you have on presently. If we look in the Ibn Ezra, number five, he says, Vagon Amar Ki Perish Ve'eda Ma'es Elach Odiacha. When Hashem says, I command you to take off your jewelry and then I will tell you what I'm going to do with you, it means odiacha, I will let you know. Velo ava hadiktok liyosokein. But the Ibn Ezra doesn't like that pshat. He says that's not the way that the lashon really sounds. Rak hu kimashmo. But rather, it's as it is in the pasuk. And it means, kiperish ve'edam ma'aselach, I will know what I will do with you. Not I will let you know, but I will know. Ke'adam shiyomer la'avdo shechatalo. It's like a person who says to his servant, who did a chait towards him, who sinned towards him, Achar she'era shenichamta achata echa, oz eda ma'eselach. Once I see that you really regret your sin, then I will understand fully how to, you know, how to treat you and how to act with you. Okay, so what is Hashem telling Klal Yisrael by telling them to remove their edyam, their tachshitim? Apparently, he's saying that he needs to see their mourning. This is obviously not in a literal sense because God does not have eyes, but it's an idea in Klal Yisrael that it wasn't enough for them that they just didn't put on jewelry, but he had to see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to see a complete mourning, mourning in the fullest sense. And the only way that Klal Yisrael could express mourning over the eagle in the fullest sense was to remove, not just not put on jewelry, but to remove the jewelry that they had on from Har Choref. And apparently the pshat, according to the Ibn Ezra, is that Hashem is commanding them to take it off in order to give them an opportunity to mourn in a complete way. And if not for that, this tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their mourning would be incomplete, and a punishment from God would also be harsher. But God is telling Klal Yisrael, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take off your tachshitin, to mourn on a deeper level, in a deeper sense, in order that God can evaluate the situation and he can act accordingly. Now, what's interesting is, where did they get these edyom? The last pasuk says, Vav, Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael's edyom har chorev. It says that they divested themselves, they removed themselves from the edyom, the tachshitim that they got or that were from Har Choref. And the for some reason, the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra, they don't really explain what this means. What does it mean, the edyom that they got from Har Choref? Of course, I think many people are familiar with this medrash, a famous medrash that says that when the Jews said Nasa v'nishma, that they got crowns from the malachim, from the angels. But that's not really a more of a medrash, it's not really the pshat. So what's the pshat? Where did they get the jewelry from Har Choref, and what does it reflect on Klal Yisrael? So if you look at number 6, if we go back, all the way back to Yisro, and we look at Har Sinai itself, it says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Lecha la'am v'kidashtam hayom u'machar v'chibsu simosam. Hashem says to Moshe that they have to, Klal Yisrael, before Har Sinai, they have to prepare themselves, and they have to wash their garments. And they should be prepared and ready on the third day, because Hashem will appear at Har Sinai on the third day. There seems to be, from these psukim, an idea of preparation, that Klal Yisrael knew that they were approaching God, the Shekhinah, by Har Sinai, and they needed to prepare themselves. I think the Mefarshim say over there in Yisro that the preparation was more, you know, philosophical. But you know, we can glean from these psukim that there must have also been, you know, a practical preparation. For example, if a person were to go to like a wedding and it was a very important event, you would dress up in your finest clothing. If you're dressing up to meet a great leader, you would presumably dress up in nice clothing and put on your best jewelry, or your best, you know, for a man, your best watch, for a woman, your best jewelry, in order to approach the person properly. So it was a sign of respect to the person that you're visiting by, let's say, a leader. You dress up in your finest clothing. So too by Klal Yisrael, when they approached Har Sinai, there seemed to be a preparation, and it demanded that they put on their nicest jewelry, their finest clothing, their nicest jewelry. But what do we see from the psukim that we just went through in Kisisa? We see that the Jewish people never took the jewelry off that they had from Har Sinai. They prepared themselves at Har Sinai by putting on their beautiful jewelry, but they didn't remove it. They kept it on even up to this point, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu is demanding that they take it off. Why would they keep it on? What's the idea of keeping it on? So as I think Debbie said before, there's an idea of a person feeling a certain self-pride, and she said vanity, but it's also an idea in self-pride that the Klal Yisrael, after Har Sinai, after they experienced Har Sinai, there is a pride in the nation that we are the people, the chosen Ama Nifchar, and we witnessed Har Sinai. No other nation witnessed it. And by leaving the jewelry on, it reflected the fact that Klal Yisrael felt the same pride. They continued to feel the pride that they felt in approaching Har Sinai, and they kept their jewelry on. But unfortunately, by the Egel, in the aftermath of the Egel, according to the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam and the Pshat, it seems like it was inappropriate for them to keep that jewelry on. Why? Because in mourning, in their mourning over the Egel, it demanded a removal of that self-pride. A person cannot be misabel properly if, you know, if they're engaged in the self. And other examples of that in Avelos are a person's not allowed to get a haircut, and they're not, a man's not allowed to shave. The reason for that is that a person's not supposed to be concerned with their appearance and how they look, and they shouldn't feel a certain, they shouldn't feel a certain self-pride in the way they look and their appearance. But it's the opposite. In mourning, mourning demands the absence of that. So I think with all these mefarshim, we can explain, you know, this in a, I said, in a more literal sense. And I think just to summarize what happened, it seems as though that Klal Yisrael, they heard that the Shechina would no longer be amongst them, and they were very upset. And they didn't, apparently in the first pasuk, they didn't put on new jewelry as a reflection of their mourning. But Hashem's telling them that you need to do a better job at mourning. And only once HaKadosh Baruch Hu witnessed, you know, their full and complete mourning, would he be able to, you know, give them the appropriate onesh. It was rachamim on the part of God to allow them to do that. So he commands them to take off their jewelry. And it says in the end that they did take off the jewelry. The very jewelry that they put on themselves to approach Har Sinai and to approach God, they had to take off at this point. And the reason for that, I think, is that they had to remove any sense of self-pride as a nation. That they felt a certain self-pride at Har Sinai by being able to approach God, being in the presence of God. And now it was inappropriate for them to feel that self-pride. They had to remove that. And the removal of jewelry and the nizamim and tabas and their beautiful clothing is a reflection of that feeling, that lack of self-pride. Okay, so that's really the first approach. It's not, I don't know if it's the juiciest approach, it's the most exciting approach, but I think it's a more pshat approach, and it's a very nice approach that the Mefarshim are telling us, and they're explaining to us about the aftermath of the ego. There's a little bit of a more of a drush approach, and it also, I think, demonstrates a little bit of a deeper level of understanding of this sequence in the Torah. I don't know if everybody got this, but there's a Rabbeinu Chananel on this area, and he explains it in a little bit of a different fashion. So if you didn't understand the last part, then just put it out of your mind. We're going to take up the second approach to this sequence in the Torah. If you look at number 7, Rabbeinu Chananel, and you can find him in the Torah Schaim, Rabbeinu Chananel on Pasuk Hei, he says, Ve'ata horeid edyecha me'alecha. What are these edyecha? This whatever they are. Heimam abushim shelahem shenizrak aleim dam habris. This is a reference to the clothing that Klal Yisrael had, which the dam habris, the blood of the covenant, was spilled upon them, was thrown upon them. Vehu dam hakorbanos shehikrivu habechoros besinai v'nikru ade leYisrael v'siferes v'chavod gadol. This is the dam of the sacrifices that were sacrificed at Har Sinai. And they're called an Adi LeYisrael because they're a source of pride and tremendous greatness. Biyos b'hem hadam hahu os v'simon lekabalos briso shal kadosh baruch hu ukvar iskarti zeh b'seder v'eila mishpatim. The fact that the Jewish people had these blood-stained clothing on was a big source of pride for Klal Yisrael, and it was also an os and a simon. It was a sign that Har Sinai occurred with Klal Yisrael. It's funny. I guess it's a strong fashion statement. They were wearing blood-stained clothing throughout their experience in the desert from Har Sinai to this point. But let's go back to, I think we need to go back to Mishpatim and the whole sequence over there in order to understand, you know, on a deeper level what the meaning of this is and why they had to take off these clothing, this clothing, the blood-stained clothing that they had on at this point. Why is that the case? So again, if we go back to Mishpatim, and I'm going to go through the Pesukim in number 8, source number 8, which is Shmos Perichav Dalet, Pasuk Gimel. Vayavo Moshe, vayisaper la'am, es kol divrei Hashem, ve'es kol mishpatim, vayan kol la'am kol echad, vayomru kol dvarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Moshe told the Am all the words of Hashem and all the mishpatim, and the people said everything that was said and all these matters will do. Hashem Nasa. Vayichtov Moshe es kol divrei Hashem, vayashkim baboker, vayiven mizbeach tachas ahar. Moshe wrote down all the words of Hashem, and he woke up in the morning, and he built a mizbeach, an altar, underneath Har Sinai, ushtem esrei matzevah l'shnei masar shivtei Yisrael. And he also built 12 matzevos, 12, I guess, statues, not really statues, but stones, in reference to the shnei masar shivtei Yisrael, to the 12 shvatim. Vayishalach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael, vayalu olos, vayizbechuz v'achem shlomim la'ashem parim. the Na'arei B'nai Yisrael, which I think are the Bechors, the firstborns, they decide on Moshe's request to be makriv korbanos. They bring a lot of korbanos. Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam, vayosem ba'aganos, v'chatzi adam zarak al mizbeach. At Har Sinai, Moshe takes half of the blood of the korbanos, he puts it in these pans and in these bowls, and half of the other blood he throws on the mizbeach. Vayikach sefer abris, vayikra be'ozne ha'am. He takes the Torah and he reads it before the nation. Vayomru kol asher dibir Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. The people say that whatever Hashem says, we will do and we will listen. And then in look at number in pasuk ches. Vayikach Moshe sadam, vayizrok al ha'am, vayomer hinei dam abris asher karas Hashem imachem al kol advarim ha'ila. He decides to take the whole bowl of blood and he spills it all over Klal Yisrael. Apparently there's enough blood there. There are many korbanos and there's enough blood there that it would get on all of Klal Yisrael. And he takes this blood of the korbanos and he spills it, he sprinkles it over all of Klal Yisrael. And everybody in Klal Yisrael had a blood-stained clothing as a result of this experience. But what is the meaning? The question is, what is the meaning of this? Why did Moshe take the blood from the korbanos and spill it on the Jewish people? What is the significance? So if we look at Rabbi Yochanan again, because we're just following the path of Rabbi Yochanan, we want to be consistent and approach it in the framework of Rabbi Yochanan. He gives an explanation for why this is the case. And then we can go back to our area and try to explain it in a deeper manner, a deeper fashion. If you look at number 9, Rabbi Yochanan, Vayikach Moshe es hadam, vayizrok al ha'am. Hiza hadam aleim kidei sheyichnesu bevris im HaKadosh Baruch Hu hu bedam. He sprinkled upon the Jewish people blood in order so that they enter into the covenant of the Torah with blood. The oso kesem hadam sha'al bigdam kara kasav adi lafi shahaya adi lahem or adi lahem bechavod gadol. The reason why this kesem, this stain on their clothing is called an adi or an adi is because of the fact that it was a testimony to a great kavod, great respect and greatness, gadol. Sorry, great respect, kavod gadol. This was also a testimony and a sign that they entered into the covenant with God at Har Sinai. And therefore, when they were chotim, they sinned by the egel and they broke the covenant. He said, take off these edim, these bloody clothing. Remove the begadim that were signs and testimonials for you of the covenant. And he's going back to our pasuk. That's what it means that Klal Yisrael, they removed all their edyam. It means they took off the bloody clothing. Now this is the key point. Why did Hashem choose to establish the covenant of the Torah through blood? What's the whole meaning of this sprinkling of the blood on the people? Remez lahem. It's a hint to them. Im atem mekaimim haTorah mutov. If you keep the Torah, then great. Vim lov hareini matir dimchem lekares ulmisa. And if not, then I'm going to permit your blood for kares, for excommunication, and for misa, for death. And if you think it's only Rabbi Yochanan that gives this approach, the Ibn Ezra said, he quotes Rabbi Yochanan. He says the same thing. In number 10, Va'gon Omar ki ze remez shedimchem mutar kedama ze im lo sishmu rabis habris v'ze derech drash. The same thing, that basically the reason why Moshe took the blood of the korbanos and he sprinkled it on the people was to demonstrate that the bris, the covenant, occurred through blood. Why blood? Because blood symbolizes an idea that if you keep the Torah, good, and if not, then you'll be subject to death and destruction. Okay, so I just want to understand what this concept is. Why was this concept so important to express to Klal Yisrael? And why did it have to be a kesem on their clothing? Why were they so proud of the fact that they had this on their clothing? They didn't take it off. They left it on themselves. So what is the meaning of this? The Rabbi Yochanan is very nice. He's explaining it on a simple manner, but it's still strange that the people had to have this, or this kesem was such a sign of great pride. Why is this? Why were Klal Yisrael so proud of the fact that they had this dam on their clothing? And then we can go back and try to understand by the eagle, in the aftermath of the eagle, why Klal Yisrael, it's demanded of them that they remove their clothing, these clothing with the blood stained of Har Sinai. And furthermore, just one more question, it's not like they still were at Har Sinai, and it's not like Klal Yisrael, the covenant isn't broken completely because of the because we're still considered the Amon Nefgar. We still have to keep the Torah. So on the one hand, a part of whatever, what does it mean that the covenant was broken? In what sense was it broken? What aspect of the covenant was broken? So that's what I want to understand in order to explain, you know, this and our area as well. Okay, so I'm going to leave it up to the people on the phone line, which Debbie. Any thoughts? Anybody have any thoughts on, yeah. Anybody have any thoughts as to why it would be significant that this that the covenant be occur through Dom, and why it was such a sign of pride for Klal Yisrael that they had this blood stained on their clothing? And then we can understand, as I said, why they have to remove it by the ego. Nope. Okay. All right. So let's take it from this standpoint. Let's start from the beginning. What's the idea of the Dom being sprinkled upon them, and the significance of the bris occurring through the Dom? So I want to use an example. The example is that whenever you make an agreement with somebody and you say to them, you know, let's say you say to a person, I'm going to lend you my car, and if my car is damaged, then you have to pay for the car, and you're also going to have to pay me an extra, you know, $100,000 as a result. So if I make that agreement with somebody else and that person agrees to that deal, now on the one hand, the person really understands on an intellectual level when he makes that deal what he's getting himself into. But on the other hand, when a person makes a deal and they hear the consequences of the deal, they don't necessarily accept it on an emotional level. And even though a person can say, listen, I accept the fact that if I crash your car, I will have to pay for the car and I will have to pay you $100,000, there's always a part of a person that thinks, oh, that's never going to happen to me. Yeah, I agree to it and I understand what my consequences are. But there's a part of a person that says, yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen. What are the chances that I'm a good driver, never gotten a ticket before, never gotten any type of ticket, never any accidents. It's not going to happen to me. So therefore, you know, the consequences, they're not a reality. They may be a reality intellectually, but not emotionally. So how am I going to take that and apply that over here? I think it's the same idea. See, part of the idea of the covenant, in order to enter into a covenant, especially this type of covenant, the Torah covenant, Lidoros, the people who accepted the covenant really had to not only understand the consequences of not keeping the Torah, but it had to be a reality to them. It couldn't be that, like the car situation, it couldn't be that they just accepted the consequences on an intellectual level, but there was a part of them that really didn't accept it, that there was a part of them on an emotional level that couldn't see it as a reality and could not accept the fact that they could really be subject to destruction and complete Misa and Karis. And apparently that was necessary for Har Sinai to be a real bris. It's necessary in order to have a real covenant, a covenant Lidoros. The people have to know what they're getting into on an intellectual plane and also in an emotional plane as well, and in a reality-based, from a realistic standpoint. It has to be a reality to them that, just like it's reality to you, that if I walk into the street and there's a truck coming, I will get hit and I will be killed. So too, the keeping the Torah, you know, being a good and not keeping the Torah being a potentially disastrous situation, it had to be a reality to them, just as much as the reality of, you know, of going into the street when a car or a truck's coming at you. Now, why was this? Now, with that explanation, why was this such a source of pride for Klal Yisrael? See, it is a source of pride because most people, as I said before, most people, when they hear consequences, there is a part of them, especially if you hear the potential for death and destruction, it's very, you can accept it, but not on an emotional level. And it was a very high level that Klal Yisrael were on, that they were able to accept the Torah and also accept the fairness and of the potential for disaster, the potential for destruction, and accept it as a reality, that they really saw that I could really be destroyed if I don't keep the Torah. It wasn't just a fantasy, it was a reality. That was a very high level for Klal Yisrael, and that was something that the blood on their clothing reflected and represented. It represented the concept that they were willing to accept the consequences of not keeping the Torah fully, and that they really understood it, and it was a reality to them. So now let's go back to, you know, the Egel. So what happened by the Egel? How do we explain it? And Why did Hashem tell them that they had to take off their Edom completely? So in the beginning, if you look in the beginning, after they heard that the Shekhinah would no longer be amongst Klal Yisrael, it says that they were very upset. If you look in Dalet, go back to source number one, Pasuk Dalet. Vayishma am es hadavar hara hazeh vayisabalu velo shasu ish ad yo'olav. As we said before, it means that they didn't, either it means that they didn't completely remove their jewelry or they didn't put on new jewelry, but apparently they still had some type of jewelry on. And if you look at Rabbi Nochanan, it means that they had the clothing on with the blood on it. And then Hashem says to them, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Amor al Bnei Yisrael, Atem Am She'orf Regel Achad Ele Bekir B'chav V'Chil Yisicha Ve'Ata Horeid Adrecha Mi'Alecha Ve'Edal Ma'aseh." Apparently, initially, when Klal Yisrael heard that their punishment was that God would no longer be amongst them, they really believed that that was the consequence, and they were willing to accept that as the consequence. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Pasuk Hey, he says, no, the real consequence of the Egel and the real justice is that Klal Yisrael should be destroyed. And that's what he says. He says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Amor al Bnei Yisrael, Atem Am She'orf Regel Achad Ele Bekir B'chav V'Chil Yisicha. In one moment, I will go amongst you and I can destroy you. Meaning to say that the real consequence of the Egel was destruction, was really kilisicha, kilayon. And the people, they didn't really accept that initially. In Dalet, it sounds like they just thought that losing the Shekhinah was the consequence. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, no, the real consequence of your action is destruction. And apparently, at this point, it was too hard and harsh for Klal Yisrael to accept that as a real consequence. And they lost the ability to understand and accept the consequences of the Torah in a realistic way, in a realistic manner. So that was the, and then it says, you see at the end, it says in Vav, Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael's edyam mehar chorev. They lost that ability. They lost the ability to approach the Torah and to see the consequences of the Torah as a reality to them. And that's what it means at the end. Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyam mehar chorev. They had to take off the clothing because it was no longer true. It was no longer true that Klal Yisrael were able to accept the consequences and the reality of the consequences as they did at Har Sinai. That was lost once the Egel occurred. And the fact that they initially believed that the only consequence was that they would lose the Shekhinah and God has to reflect to them, no, the real consequence is your complete destruction. It was too harsh for them. God says you need to take off your Edyom. And that was the consequence, that was the result of the ego. The result of the ego was that this sense of pride and this idea, this concept was lost amongst Klal Yisrael. They were no longer able to relate to the consequences, the onshim of the Torah, and really see, you know, the justice and also and accept it as a reality to them. It was too harsh for them. So that's the way that Rabbi Nochanan explains this area. Does anybody have any questions on, you know, this approach or any different thoughts or ideas? Somebody give me feedback on the phone line. Is it clear? Is everybody following? Debbie?
Clear, it's
clear. Clear? Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, good. So now we have two approaches to this area. And let me just recap so that people don't lose me. The first approach was that it was a sign of their avelus. They had to take off their tachshitim, their beautiful clothing and their jewelry as a sign of their avelus, their mourning, because it's inappropriate as a mourner over a chet to feel self-pride, self-importance, self-worth. Avelus demands the opposite. And that was the first approach, the pshat approach. But then you have this beautiful idea by Rabbi Nochanan that they didn't have to remove their jewelry, but rather they had to remove their blood-stained clothing. Now, what is the significance of the blood-stained clothing? So that was what I was trying to explain, you know, right before this, that the blood-stained clothing reflected the ability of Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah and all its consequences in a realistic sense, in a real manner. And once the Egel happened and they were subject, they're really subject and truly subject to complete destruction, when they saw that, they couldn't tolerate that and they could no longer accept the consequences of the Torah and see that as a reality. It was too harsh for them, it was too hard for them, and that was in that source of pride that they had from Har Sinai was lost and they could never. It was no longer a reality to them, the consequences of the Torah. And that was lost, and that's why, according to Rabbi Nochanan, they had to remove their blood-stained clothing. So we have one other approach that I want to take up, which I think is a little bit more drush. It's a little bit more out there. And it's funny because it's the Ramban, but the Ramban's quoting the Unkelus. And usually Unkelus is more of a pshat-based type of person. But the Ramban has an interesting medrash that he supports the Unkelus with. So let's look at number 11. And he has a different approach to the whole sequence. In number 11, the Ramban says, V'hinei Hashem rachamon male rachamim. Hashem is full of mercy. V'chasher ro'ash his ablu chazar v'amar b'derech rachamim amor levnei Yisrael. Once he saw that Klal Yisrael were mourning, he approached Klal Yisrael in a more merciful manner, which is different than the other approaches. Ki ad ata hiskir amcha ve'am, before he was mentioning your nation and the nation. Ve'ata yaskirim bishmam ha'chavim. Now he's mentioning them with their real name, their beloved name. Ve'tziva lemor lahem ki letovasam lo ele bekirvam shlo achale osam karaga. The tzivoy was to tell them that it's to their benefit that Hashem doesn't go with them. Apparently Hashem saw that they were upset, but now he's trying to explain it and justify it. It's really for your benefit. Aval hitivu asher asu lihinachim lisabel achatosam. But he did recognize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized that it was a good thing that they were mourning over their chait. V'chein yasu tamid. And so this should be done always. V'eidah ma'as elohem. And I will know what to do with them. Klomer, efkod chatosam adaiti kefi ha-ta'avelem v'hanechamam alavonam. I will give them punish them for their chait based on their level of mourning and their regret. Ki ani kefi his ablam vehinachmam alavonam ki ani bochein lev vechulker klayos, because Hashem knows, you know, every person's emotional inside. Hashem understands that and knows that. And basically, the way the Ramban's approaching it is that Hashem wasn't telling them the harsh that they really deserve to be destroyed, but rather he's telling them, or he sees that they really were upset, and that's a good thing. But now, look in the Ramban at number 12, he goes on. And this is the point that he quotes on Unkelus. V'tam ba'is natzul b'nei Yisrael's edyom. What does it mean that they divested themselves of their edyom from Har Charev? Ki b'shamam zeh his natzlu v'is baraku mikol edi yoser mimasha asu t'chila. He says that they took off more jewelry than what they took off initially. V'unkelus etirgim ba'adi tikun zayin. Unkelus explains that what is an adi? It's a tikun zayin. It's a weapon. A weapon for warfare. Daito kedivrei Omer bevreshis Rabba. Now he quotes a medrash that supports this idea that they removed their weapons. Zinaos chagar lahem. So Hashem gave them, he girded them with weapons. Klomar shel chagar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shas matan Torah kli zayin lihinatzel mikol pega u'malach hamaves. The Jewish people were given weapons at Har Sinai to protect them and to save them from any bad thing, you know, any negative thing that occurred, and also the Malach HaMavis, and also death. Kemosha Darshu, Charos Aluchos, like it says, Charos Aluchos, V'cheros Mimalach HaMavis. The drasha of Charos Aluchos is a certain freedom from the Malach HaMavis. V'heim Shemosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the names of God. V'nei Yisrael Kiblu Aleim Es Amisa Baratzo Nafsha Mipnei Onesh HaEgel. Now Klal Yisrael apparently lost these clay zayin, these weapons, to fight against the Malach HaMavis, and they are willing to accept the Misa willingly as an onesh for the Egel. V'zeh inyan tshuva gedola v'charata v'chetam. And this was a great tshuva, and it reflected a regret for their sin. So this sounds like a pretty whacked out idea, that Klal Yisrael were given weapons at Har Sinai, and these weapons were the names of God, and the names of God were meant to challenge the Malach HaMavis. And apparently, after the Egel, they lost that. They lost. So what does this mean? What is the whole meaning of this, of the weapons, and what exactly did they lose here? So the idea, I think, is that the names of God reflect an understanding of man, of God, on a deeper level. We say that each name of God is a different midah of God. It gives man certain insight into God. Even though we can't have positive knowledge of God, we can gain closer knowledge, greater insight into God through the names of God. Apparently at Har Sinai, they were given many names of God because of the fact that they were on the level to receive them. If a person learns ideas about God and they're not on the level to learn those ideas, the ideas will be corrupted, the ideas will be distorted, and they'll have a negative effect on the person. But if a person is really on the level where they really understand, or they can gain Yedias Hashem, knowledge of God, then the names of God can be of tremendous like benefit, and it could propel a person to an even higher level. So the idea seems to be that at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael were given insights into God because of the level they were at Har Sinai, And that knowledge of God gave them a certain hashgacha, a certain protection over the Malachim Avos, which is, you know, a natural type of death. The idea, I think, of the Malachim Avos is a natural type of death. So they warranted a hashgacha because of their Yediyas Hashem, their knowledge of God, which they gained from Har Sinai because of the fact that they're on a very high level, distinct level. But by the Egel, once the Egel occurred and the level of the people had diminished, those names of God now no longer were real and were truthful, and they were now distorted, and the people could no longer understand these insights to the same degree that they did at Har Sinai. That was lost, especially by the Egel, because the Egel is like Shemetz of Avodah Zarah. There's an aspect of Avodah Zarah. So once the Klal Yisrael gave in and they allowed the Egel to occur, they did the Egel, they participated in the Egel, it demonstrated a distorted idea about God. And once they gave into that, now the names of God also were no longer a means of knowledge of God, of Yediyas Hashem, and a means of obtaining Hashgacha, but now they were a means of distortion. And Klal Yisrael were no longer privy to that knowledge, to those ideas, to those Shemos Hashem. So the idea that the Unkelis is saying, according to the Ramban, is the level of Klal Yisrael diminished tremendously after the Egel. And when it says, Vayisnatzlu es edyam har chorev, it means that they lost the weapons of, so to speak, the names of God, which acted as a means of hashgacha, of protecting them. They lost that. The reason why they lost that was because of the fact that they no longer had a pure idea of God. Their idea of God was distorted. And that also affected the knowledge that they had gained at Har Sinai. So I think that's the last idea. The idea of the Ramban is I think, a little bit more of a drush than Rabbeinu Chananel, who's a little bit more of a drush than the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, but also a fascinating idea, a very significant idea in understanding, you know, how Klal Yisrael dealt with the ego. That is really, you know, the conclusion of the share tonight. So I just want to summarize what we did tonight. We basically took three approaches to how to understand the aftermath of the ego and how Klal Yisrael responded. So one approach that we took was more of a pshat approach, as I said before, and that approach is that they expressed an avelus, a mourning, and by removing their edyam, removing their tachshitim, their jewelry, it was a true sign of mourning, because as I said, a mourner cannot feel self-pride, cannot feel self-importance, significance, and it wasn't enough that they didn't put on new jewelry, but they had to remove the very jewelry that they prepared and put on themselves for Har Sinai, and they kept wearing as a sign of pride, that now they had to remove. They had to remove the self-pride that they felt from Har Sinai in order to be mes'abel, in order to mourn over the chet of the ego properly. So that was the first idea. The second idea was Rabbeinu Chananel, which was tied to the concept of being aware and accepting consequences of the Torah. Once they did the ego and they were over on the over by creating the ego and worshiping the ego, once that happened, they were no longer able to really accept the consequences of the Torah in an emotional way. They at Har Sinai they were, and that was a great sign of pride for them. But once the Egel occurred, now they have to remove the bloodstained clothing as a reflection of the fact that they couldn't tolerate the consequences. The consequences were too harsh for them on an emotional level, and they couldn't tolerate it, and that had to be reflected in their removal of the begadim, of the big day edyom, their edyom. And the last idea, which is Unkelis, is the concept of Yediyas Hashem, that Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai gained, you know, certain insights into God because of their level, of their very distinct level. And once the Egel occurred, they no longer were privy to those insights. Their idea of God was distorted, and they were also no longer privy to a certain hashgacha and a certain protection from the normal, natural manner of death. And they were subject now to natural death. They were no longer on the level of pure hashgacha, but they're on the level of subject to natural death. And they could no longer apparently gain those, as a nation, could no longer gain those ideas back. It was a one-time thing at Har Sinai that they were on that level, they could gain those ideas. But once this happened, it was lost, and they could never gain them. Maybe as yachidim, as individuals, like Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron or a great individual, could gain that knowledge back. But the Jewish people as a whole lost that knowledge. That knowledge was now distorted, and it no longer effectively worked as a means of obtaining hashgacha and protection. Okay, so that's tonight's shiur. Anybody have any questions or any thoughts on the, you know, on the ideas presented? Anybody? All right. So I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos this week. And
you too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So everybody have a good night. Thanks for calling in, and we'll do it next week. Thank you. Shabbos.
Thank you.